This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And a reminder that we would like to hear from you in the remaining days, and we only have a few left in our Spring Member Fest. The number is 855-893-9753. It's an important time for us to be well-informed. WRKF and NPR are bringing reliable information about the coronavirus, facts and advice from the nation's top healthcare professionals, and information about schools, workplaces, public gatherings, events. And you stay in touch with what's happening in our world. And right now, as we know, it's an uncertain one, and it's done through listeners like you. We want to hear from you. 855-893-9753. And thanks to a few people who came in right under the wire as we were leaving the air yesterday, Jerry and Rob and Doug, all of whom were listening in Baton Rouge, and we like it when people not only here in our community but elsewhere who are listening to WRKF all across the state, in some cases all across the nation, and in some cases other parts of the world. The number is 855-893-9753, and WRKF's Board of Directors is contributing $50 for any donations that come in before 10 o'clock, as in before the conclusion of this show this morning. We start with Senator Cleo Fields, the veteran lawmaker who in 1987 was elected to the Senate at the age of 24, and now at the age of 57, he's back where it all began. And good morning to you, Senator Fields.
Good morning to you, Jim, and let me first apologize. I did not know that we were going to be actually in committee early this morning, 9:30 actually, and we changed the schedule the first 2 weeks of the session, so I apologize. I really wanted to be in studio with you.
Well, you're sounding strong from the Capitol, and how are things there? Is there some concern about what's going on with this virus now spreading? And, of course, we have several known cases in Louisiana.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a concern of legislators and the governor, as well as, you know, the Department of Health. We got to be forever vigilant to make sure that we get testing kits here as soon as possible, and make sure we test people. And you know, we certainly don't want people to panic. But the truth of the matter, I mean, the virus is here. And we have to take every precaution necessary to make sure that, you know, the safety of the people in the state are the number one priority.
Well, right now it's an uncertain case of where we're going, but in Italy we know it went from three cases to the whole country being quarantined in a matter of weeks, and so we don't know, and sometimes that is the worst punishment of all, this uncertainty. And are there any contingency plans in place for the worst-case scenario?
Well, there are. In fact, health committees are meeting today, and the governor, quite frankly, has been meeting and formed the task force on a constant basis. I think all branches of government are working in concert with each other, and I really don't think there is a set plan as to when certain places close, if they close at all. And, for example, colleges and universities, that's going to be left up to the institutions. There is no pecking order that basically says if this happens, then you shall close. At this point, at least, we're leaving that up to the colleges and universities across the state. State departments, I think that's going to be more on a case-by-case basis, as well as the legislature.
Well, yesterday was a good day on Wall Street, and Dow went over 1,000 points after losing more than 2,000 the day before, the largest point drop in the history of the stock market. Today, at the start, it's down 771, and it's not looking good as far as prospects for Wall Street today, and this is having repercussions for the Louisiana economy. The price of oil has gone down, and as you know, when that happens, it affects all of us because the state doesn't have as much money as anticipated, and if something's not done and this continues, we could end up having a deficit. So you're dealing with dollars and cents down at the Capitol. Senator Fields, what do you think about what this could do to Louisiana?
Oh, it's certainly not going to have a positive effect on the economy. It's going to have a negative effect. If there's any bright light in all of this, and as relates to the economy of Louisiana, in the past when I was here, we almost solely depended on oil and gas revenues, and now it's not as much of the budget, and which is a very good thing. But it is a part of the budget nonetheless. It's going to have a devastating impact on the economy and on fiscal budgets all across the country. I mean, you know, the Dow has dropped, you know, in record numbers, dropping today. But I think it's all about the unknown. One, we don't have a cure for the virus as of yet. Two, people just don't know, and they don't know if they have it. They don't know if their neighbor have it. And so, you know, people, you know, I don't want to use the word panic, but people are just concerned because they just don't know. And the quicker we as a government can give people good, solid information, the quicker we as a government can come up with a cure for the virus, you know, all the better. But that's going to take some time.
Senator Cleo Fields, who served in Congress, and we're going to talk with him about redistricting. He was a victim of a redistricting measure many years ago. His district was thrown out, and now we have districts that are just as gerrymandered as his was accused of being, that are alive and well. Why don't we go over that right now? We got your friend Cedric Richmond, who represents both New Orleans and North Baton Rouge. And you and I know that North Baton Rouge area should be in Garrett Graves' district, but this is designed to protect the 6th District Congressman to keep a Republican in office rather than a Democrat. Senator Fields, will we have any movement toward more solid districts than these ones that meander all across the state?
Well, I think so, but Jim, that's, you know, I often tell people, you know, it's hard to take the politics out of politics. Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, the way redistricting plans have been done in the past, the legislature normally allows the members of Congress to come up with at least a plan in which the legislature could work from. That's not many times the ultimate plan that's passed. But once we give the members some sense, you know, get some sense from them as to what they think the lines should look like, then the House and the Senate Committee on Governmental Affairs basically go into action and start creating a plan. I would hope that the plans are more compact, but, you know, at the end of the day, that's going to be a very heated, debated process.
Do you feel like you were ripped off now when we look at these districts? Ralph Abraham's district runs all the way to Opelousas from North Louisiana, and yet the Justice Department years ago threw out your district. You were a sitting congressman. It seems like in retrospect, maybe you got a bad deal.
Well, I never look back, try to look forward. But at the end of the day, under Shaw v. Reno, the Supreme Court basically said, listen, I want you legislatures to go back and just look at these plans and make sure that there is a reason for the creation of these plans, other than race being the only factor. It can be a factor, but it can't be the only factor. And I think Louisiana, unlike other states, decided to react to that advisory sort of information from the Supreme Court, and they basically, the legislature, in its wisdom, decided to just do away with the district. No other state did it, and in fact, many of the states, increased their, minority representation. But, you know, it was a district that ran from Shreveport to Baton Rouge, and most people didn't know this or don't know this. It was not my desired district to begin with. I wanted the district that I basically created the first time was from Monroe to Baton Rouge, But the politics took it all the way to Shreveport. And at the end of the day, I mean, that's the kind of process, you know, when elected officials are, in fact, drawing lines. And it is a process that I support because it's the people who should draw lines, not a an appointed commission. But, you know, it's very difficult when you are portioning people in or out of positions. And I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about, you know, giving a person an opportunity to be elected.
And we're going to spend another segment with Cleo Fields and let him get to his committee hearing. And if you'd like to join the conversation in our remaining time, 877-217-5757, or send us an email at talk@talklouisiana.org. And please contribute to WRKF, if you can, at whatever amount. We would like to hear from you. And if you like this hour of programming, please call now at 855-893-9753. Thank you for your support. We're back in 90 seconds with Senator Fields. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And by the way, the number again to call and show your support for RKF is 855-893-9753. Thanks to Aaron Halloran in Port Allen who called in the last few minutes. So we appreciate your support. Cleo Fields, the state senator from Baton Rouge, is with us for a few more minutes. And he is here to talk about anything that you wish to discuss. And a few listeners have sent emails regarding the fire at Exxon a few weeks ago, and I know, Senator Fields, you've expressed concern that the environmental situation could be much more than we have been told. What's going on as far as unearthing what exactly happened and the potential health risks involved?
Well, according to their seven-day letter, several pollutants were released into the air that was outside of the reportable limit, and DEQ secretary is assessing what fine will be assessed to the company. I have legislation, and in fact, a group of us, Baton Rouge legislators and surrounding areas, we have a package that will basically, you know, deal with this type of incident so that, one, people will be notified in a timely fashion. Under the present law, a chemical plant has up until 1 hour to notify the state that there is an emergency situation. We're changing that time or seeking to change it from 1 hour to 15 minutes. We've looked at other states across the country. Many states, immediate means immediate, which means not more than 15 minutes. So we are seeking to change that so that they will report it to the state immediately. One, once the company reports the incident to the hazmat or state police, then it will trigger a response to the community. The state will then contact the local government, and then the local government will make the decision as to if and how they inform the community, be it through a text message, be it through the sounding of some kind of alarm, but at the end of the day, people in the community have a right to know when incidents like that happen, and they need to know it in a timely fashion. Right. That's one. Secondly, air monitoring. Right now, we do not have, DEQ does not have access to real-time monitoring, you know, on the fence line or inside of the facility. We have to do better than that. People have a right to know what they breathe every day. And it is our responsibility to make sure that the air, is healthy, you know. And so this bill will provide for real-time monitors like they do in California, for example, and that information will go directly to the Department of Environmental Quality so they do not have to rely on industry to tell them, you know, 7 days later, 60 days later, what they put into the air. The government should know immediately when there is a risk to the public in the air. And I've talked to the secretary and trying to reach some type of agreement or consensus. That may not be likely, not from a secretary perspective, but from an industry perspective. So we're going to give it another week or two, and we're going to move forward with the bills. and hopefully we can get them get them passed in both houses. If not, you know, the issue will not go away. I am also willing to get local people who are willing to invest in giving Southern and LSU a grant so that they can, in fact, monitor the air for, you know, for us.
Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on the air with Senator Fields.
Yeah, Senator, you say you want to look forward, not backward. So can the citizens of Louisiana look forward to a final explanation you promised?
All right, that subject has come up a time or two. And Senator, I'll let you, I'm sure it's related to the Edwin Edwards thing. You've gone through this many times. And Dan, I think at some point it's time to give up the ghost on this. Senator, if you wish to respond, fine. If not, then let's move on.
Yeah, I wanted to finish the comment about the air monitoring. So if they do not, you know, if the bill is not, if we are not able to pass the bill, then we're going to, you know, get LSU and Southern to actually help, you know, give them grants so that they can have the monitoring devices so we can put them around a particular facility so that we can monitor it.
Henry at the Country Club. Henry, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Well, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Congressman Fields. It's a pleasure to see you back in office again, serving the people. I have a comment on the redistricting. I remember some years back when Bill Cassidy was a congressman, he was meeting with a retired African-American state representative. And Cassidy was discussing all he does and everything. He was asked, well, can you help us with this? Cassidy's comment was, I don't need any black votes. With the district I got, I could stay in office without any. Now, that's the kind of attitude that we need to get rid of and have a fair and equal representation in our reapportionments.
All right, Senator.
Well, I don't know if, you know, I've never heard Senator Cassidy say that, and I hope he didn't. But at the end of the day, you know, one thing that we're going to have to do in this state, and not just in this state but in this country, and that is we're going to have to all work together to move forward. I mean, you know, you take the coronavirus, for example. It doesn't, you know, it has no... it doesn't discriminate based on your party affiliation, the race, your race, your gender. I mean, it is one that affects any person.
Mike in Broadmoor. Hi, Mike. You're on with Senator Fields.
Yes. Good morning, Senator. I have a question, and it's political. Your campaign took a lot of money from Mr. Lane Grigsby. How much influence would he have over you?
All right. That's a fair question. What about Glenn Grigsby's support for you?
Yeah, he would have as much influence over me as any other citizen in the 14th Senatorial District. I'm going to listen to the opinions of people who call and who talk, but ultimately I will make my decision. And my decision is going to be in the best interest of the people which I represent.
Rachel. In Mid-City, asks if you will be attending the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee.
I don't know at this point. That's going to be contingent upon a lot of things, a lot of factors. I plan to, but I cannot commit at this point.
And you are supporting a candidate?
Yes, I am supporting Vice President Biden for president. I feel very good. I mean, I think at this point in this country, we need somebody like him. You know, I often say an adult in a room, we need somebody who's going to rebuild the international relationships that we once had. And I just think Vice President Biden is the kind of person who will do that.
Well, thank you. We'll let you get to the committee hearing, and hopefully we'll see you in studio soon. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Jim. Let's do it soon.
I like that. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye. And thanks to Philip Gould, who listens to Talk Louisiana. No, Philip from... past discussions. He's in Lafayette, so we like from people from other parts of the state to give us a call. And we know there are many listeners, not only in South Louisiana, but throughout the state. And we have members in at least half, if not more, of the 64 parishes. Let's go for all 64. So if you're listening in Tensaw Parish, give us a call at 855-893-9753. 855-893-9753. As the coronavirus reaches more communities, we're listening to WRKF perhaps more than usual because we can be certain we're getting the latest information that is reliable and fact-based. WRKF and NPR have a team of experienced reporters around the world here in our community keeping us connected. It exists thanks to the generous listeners, you, who make the contributions at times like this during our Spring Member Fest. Now is the time, if you haven't done so, to join the membership roles and be more than a casual listener, but be part of the family. 855-893-9753. And we'll be back after this pause with more Talk Louisiana.